we've come to the best part of the evening. By the way, those trailers were good. Weren't those fun? Those are some good movies, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, what we're going to do is, as much time as it takes, we're going to take it, because we're here to take time and have fun. I want each critic, starting with you, Russ Simmons, to pick up that microphone and redundantly say your name is Russ Simmons.
It is Russ Simmons.
It is. And then tell us a little bit about yourself, how people can see, hear, experience what you do, and then pass it along to the next critic who'll do the same all the way down the line, and then we'll begin our picks. Go ahead, Russ.
Okay. With Fox 4 and KKFI-FM and KCUR-FM monthly on Central Standard Friday.
Hi, I'm Jack Posiger with KMBZ Radio, KCConfidential.com, and Time Warner Cable.
John Nickum with the Kansas City Star.
Molly Montgomery, a video blogger, Reviews for Humans.
Dustin Adair, also from Reviews for Humans.
It's crazy.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Like the lasso from Django. Jeez. This is like old school for real. Sean Edwards, Fox 4 News, and the Academy Awards suck.
Thank you.
Oh. I'm Ryan Davis. I'm the founder of LostReviews.com, and now I write for DraftHouse.com.
Robert Butler, I'm with the Kansas City Public Library. I blog on their website, mostly about old movies, but I also have my own website, butlercinemascene.com. What?
What's that?
Yeah. And Sean, 99% of everything sucks.
99% of everything is great, but the Academy Awards suck. All right. Is the microphone working? Can you all hear me okay? I guess it is working. Marie Asner, and I like to stand when I've got a microphone because I'm a song leader at church. So, I mean, anytime you guys want to come into song, that's fine. I'm one of the film critics at KCUR on Central Standard Friday, and I write for the monthly newspaper, The Metro Voice, which is Kansas City, Missouri, and Topeka. In Chicago, it's www.phantomtollbooth.org, and I had passed out my comments on the Oscar, on the film picks for the Oscars and so on to many people around here in case I didn't have a chance to use the microphone tonight. And onairprep.com, which is a radio syndicate. And all of us have other lives besides being in the films. And I'm in my second term as the Kansas Senior Poet Laureate.
I'm Eric Moline. I'm the editor-in-chief of scenestealers.com, also KCTV5's film critic, and I write for the Lawrence Journal World, and I do Central Standard Fridays on KCUR as well.
Okay, hang on to that mic.
Okay.
Hang on to it. Can we hear? Can everybody hear? Okay, I
testing.
Would urge
hello.
All participants to keep the microphone ridiculously close to their lips.
Okay.
Yeah, that's excellent. All right. Well, here we go. It's exciting. I'm vibrating. You can't tell. Maybe you can. Animated feature. We saw them all during the trailer show, did we not? We saw them all. I'm going to just go down the list, and then we're going to start with Eric. There's Brave. I'm actually saying this, Frankenweenie. There's Paranorman. There's Pirates, Band of Misfits, and there's Wreck-It Ralph. Now, what I'd like you to do for me, each at a time, of course, not together unless you see fit, is to tell me what you think will win, and I'll note it accordingly, and then share with the audience what you think should win, if that's different than what you think will win. What do you think first will win animated feature?
This is actually a really tough one this year because Pixar usually wins this category, right? Their animated films are usually way beyond everybody else's. Brave this year was a good film, but it wasn't like WALL-E or The Incredibles or something that was really stellar. And so I think it's a little bit up for grabs, even though Brave won at the Golden Globes this year. I think that Wreck-It Ralph has a really good chance to win. This category, again, kind of up in the air. I guess I would say that I think Wreck-It Ralph will win, but I think that Paranorman from the Leica studio was hands down the best animated film of the year. This is a stop-motion animated film, and it was put together with some CGI effects that I thought were really incredible, and it told a really great and interesting and kind of dark story about bullying, but it was done in a way that was, you know, couched in this supernatural thing. So I think Paranorman, for me, is definitely the best animated film of the year, but Wreck-It Ralph could win. And you know what? They might even give it to Tim Burton for Frankenweenie, which was also fun, but not up to Paranorman.
Thank you for being all over the place.
Sure. Thanks. I answered all your questions,
you
right?
Did. Well, you've answered questions I haven't asked, which okay. is a talent. Wreck-It Ralph. I think that's what you're actually picking. Marie.
Yeah, I guess. Oh. This category is really up in the air.
Okay, but
I'm saying Wreck-It Ralph.
You're down for Wreck-It Ralph right now.
Paranorman.
Okay.
It's on video now.
It's a free-for-all. Marie, what do you think will win Best Animated Feature, and what do you think should win if that's different?
Okay, well, we're chuckling over here because Bob Butler said it's flu season, so how close should we hold this microphone to
our as close as you dare, Marie.
Well, right off the bat, I'm going to say that Tim Burton's Frankenweenie was my favorite, and I think that it's going to get it for black and white nostalgia, if nothing else, but it's just a sweet story. The Pirates Band of Misfits was kind of offsetting to some people, and at the theater that I saw it at, there were two teenage boys who I think skipped school to see that afternoon matinee, and it was at the Ward Parkway after they just finished redecorating with those luxury seats, and these two kids sat in front of me, put those seats back, and promptly slept through both the whole movie. So that gives you an idea about what a 16-year-old's attention is. Wreck-It Ralph, I think, was done, very well done as far as the animation is concerned. But if you're not an arcade person, which a lot of people in the audience are, this is not always for children, you may just not get this story, I think. Paranorman is about a young man who sees ghosts, and I think it was just a little bit spooky for children. I'm coming from that angle. And Brave was great, you know, girl power and everything like that, but it was, in some parts, a complicated story. It wasn't just all family. It was about, you know, Celtic history, I think, if I can say that. So I would go back to Frankenweenie, and I think that one is going to win.
So you say Frankenweenie will win.
Yeah, I'm going to say
what do you think should win? Different?
No, I would say
no.
Should.
Oh, well, that's easy. Okay, great. Okay, next, it's Mr. Bob Butler, a living legend in Kansas City. Let's hear it for Bob Butler.
Frankenweenie and Frankenweenie, because Hollywood knows that self-love is the greatest love.
Okay, so thank you for your brevity, Bob.
It's already my turn.
Okay, so that's Frankenweenie for you. We'll leave it at that. And next, who do we have up next?
It's me. I'm Ryan.
It's you.
I think Brave will actually win, which is sad because I think Wreck-It Ralph deserves it. Being a kid of the 80s really touched me in all the right places.
Sean Edwards, what do you think will win and should win animated feature?
They're all cartoons. Who cares?
Well, he's taking himself out of the competition, ladies and gentlemen. And now we have... I can't argue. Dustin.
Well, Molly and I actually share a brain.
Yeah. Very good.
Reviews for Humans is a joint effort. Joint effort.
Get that mic up there. Yep.
So we can't make decisions on our own. I didn't see any of these because everyone who would have gone to see these movies with me is an adult. And and it's you don't want to be the only 34-year-old single man sitting in a movie theater for children. So I didn't actually get to see any of them. But I agree with that guy at the end with the Dave Grohl hair. I think that Wreck-It Ralph was more of a Pixar movie than Brave was. So from what I've read and seen, and I really like the idea of Wreck-It Ralph.
We don't share a brain. This is not what I'm thinking.
Okay, now Molly's going to have her own opinion.
I saw Wreck-It Ralph.
Wait, 1 second. So did you make a pick?
Wreck-It Ralph, I guess.
Okay, so this is a mutual twofer here. Okay, Wreck-It Ralph is the communal...
No, it's not.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I saw Wreck-It Ralph. He didn't, and he's saying that it should win. But I don't think... I saw it in a room full of kids, and the kids really liked it, I guess. It's hard. They're all cartoons. Like Sean said, we're on the same page. They're all cartoons, and kids don't vote. It's probably going to go to Brave, but I would vote for Paranorman, even though I haven't seen it, but I'm all for the stop motion, and I think it looks fantastic.
Okay, so just to clarify, you think what
Brave
will win?
Brave. I think Brave will win. It will win the Globe.
And but you're sentimental about?
Paranorman.
Okay, but Brave, you're making the commitment. Okay, yeah. John Nickum, what do you think will win? What should win Best Animated Feature, sir?
Well, I'll tell you, I've got a 9-year-old daughter, so I've seen every animated movie, all of them. Of these five, I like Frankenweenie the best. It's going to be between Frankenweenie and Wreck-It Ralph. And sorry, Eric, but the worst animated movie in this category is Paranorman. Oh, it probably has the worst third act of a movie I saw this year, except for Battleship.
So John, you're picking to win what?
Frankenweenie.
Okay, very good. You're up, Mr. Posiger.
Tim Burton needs a lift. He had a bad year. I loved him in his Frankenweenie. Well, that doesn't sound right. I like this movie, Frankenweenie, but he's not going to win. Brave. Pixar's going to get it.
Brave for you. Okay, and last but not least, Russ, what do you think?
I kind of think that the favorite might be Brave because of the momentum it's got after the Globes, but I think Wreck-It Ralph was the strongest, and I think it will win.
So you say, this is crazy, audience. You're going to love this. Okay, so you're voting for Wreck-It Ralph. Oh, goodness gracious. Well, we need a tiebreaker. We have 3 votes for Brave, 3 votes for Frankenweenie, 3 votes for Wreck-It Ralph, Paranorman nothing, the Pirates Band of Misfits, sorry, you're out of luck. Well, you know, Loie Lockerbie could not make it tonight. I think, is Dan Liebarger in the audience?
Yep, he's out there.
Where are you, Dan? Okay, Dan, at some point you might want to wander down here. At this point, you're fine. but can you shout? Dan, you got to be the tiebreaker, buddy, or I hope you are. What do you think's going to win Best Animated Feature, Dan Liebarger, also a critic? You can do it. Big pressure. Yeah. Doesn't matter, Dan. You have the power chair. Go. I am willing to do it. 5, 4. That's it. Frankenweenie is the critic's pick. That's it. Oh. All right. Well, stay tuned, Dan. We're coming back later. Okay, who's got the mic? Russ has the mic. Oh, audience. This is an interactive event, and this will take forever. And in my effort to make this last until tomorrow, I'm telling you what. Okay, once again, I want to get yes. I want to hear a yes for everybody that believes in the picture I'm about to say. So we're going to find out what the audience thinks, okay? When I say the name of the picture, if you believe in this picture, say yes as loud as you can. I will be the human applause meter or yes meter. Brave, yes. Frankenweenie, yes. Paranorman, yes. That's sad. The Pirates Band of Misfits, yes. Eh. Wreck-It Ralph, yes. Okay, it's down to 2. Ready, Frankenweenie, yes. Wreck-It Ralph, yes. Oh, good Lord. Does anyone know what's going on? Well, your official Oscar ballots, which you hopefully will have deposited before the end of the evening, will clear this up online at cinemakc.com. I'm not sure what's going on with the audience, but okay, we're moving on. Adapted screenplay. Hang on to that mic. We're having fun with the cord. Adapted screenplay. The nominees are, you've got it there in front of you, but it's too easy. Okay, we'll see. We'll see. It's between Argo, Beasts of the Southern Wild, Life of Pi, Lincoln, and Silver Linings Playbook. Russ, adapted screenplay, what do you think will win? What do you think should?
I had a chance to chat with Tony Kushner very briefly after the Critics' Choice Awards last week. And
well, let me shake your hand.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
And I apologized to him because the adapted screenplay got pushed to the commercial break, so he did not get to accept before the TV audience. And I told him how low I thought that was. But I apologize to him on behalf of the Critics Association. I think he deserves to win. I think it's the best adapted screenplay of the year. And for those people who said that the dialogue is stilted, hey, that's the way Lincoln talked.
And so you're picking Lincoln.
Picking Lincoln, yes.
And what did you think should win?
I think Lincoln should win. Oh. I think Lincoln will win.
Well, I like that uniformity. Okay, one for Lincoln. Next.
See, I didn't know how he talked. How do you...
It's all recorded.
All right.
Lip sync. What do you think, Jack? What do you
think? Lip sync. No, my favorite movie of 2012 was Argo, so I think Argo should be the adapted screenplay, but I agree with Russ. Lincoln will win.
Very good. All right, Mr. Nickum, what do you think?
Well, it's only between Argo and Lincoln, and chances are it's going to be Lincoln just because it's really a... For me, it was a screenplay-driven movie. It wasn't a director's movie, and in certain ways, it wasn't an actor's movie, because when someone like Spielberg, you can get anybody you want to be in your movie. You can get nothing but Oscar winners. It's kind of an easy thing to do. This was a movie where the script drove everything.
One more vote for Lincoln. What do you think, Molly?
Well, apparently, it's going to go to Lincoln, but we want it to go to Argo.
Yeah, we liked Argo a lot better.
Okay, so you're saying, I like the unibrain.
It will go to Lincoln, and he pretty much just said what we're all thinking.
Okay, so Molly and Dustin think Lincoln will win.
Yeah,
correct?
Lincoln was genetically engineered to win awards. It doesn't make it a good movie, but it was genetically engineered to win awards.
I'll buy that.
But Argo actually was a good movie.
But you're sticking with Lincoln.
We're sticking with Lincoln. We'll win. We want Argo to win.
All right. Well, very good. Yes, Sean, what do you say?
No, it's Lincoln, Lincoln.
Very good.
Lincoln logs, man. Lincoln will win, but I think it should have gone to the little lesser-known movie, Beasts of Southern Wild.
Ah.
Yeah.
Mr. Butler.
Lincoln's going to win it, although I do have an issue. They say it's an adapted screenplay.
Yeah.
Has anyone read Team of Rivals? There's nothing of the book in the movie. It's
adapted qualified as source material used to write the screenplay, so it doesn't have to match like that.
So if anything about American history is an adapted screenplay.
No. Hold on. To qualify as adapted screenplay for the Academy Awards, which we're talking about, the source material can be used as a source of inspiration to create the screenplay. It doesn't have to match verbatim. It doesn't have to have exact passages from the source material, but used as inspiration to create the screenplay.
I was going to say, no. I guess Passion of the
Look
Christ
it up. Well,
was an adaptation.
We all have. Well, hold on, no. But we all have smartphones. Look up the actual rules of adapted screenplay.
Yet another instance in which the Academy bites it. I'd like to see Argo win it myself.
You'd like Argo, but you're conceding Lincoln is the winner. Marie, what do you say?
Well, I think it's Lincoln all the way, and the book that Tony Kushner used, I think was that by Doris Kearns Goodwin, and it was a massive tome, and he did a good job of narrowing the material down to make this movie Lincoln.
Yeah,
and of course, well, anyway. But Argo was a magazine article which I was not able to find to read. And so, you know, you look at it, book, magazine article. The magazine article came to life. It took the actors to do it. The book, yeah, because we've got Daniel Day-Lewis, who's probably got a lock on for it. But I flipped a coin, and it's Lincoln.
All right. And, yes, Eric, what do you say, sir?
So here's the problem with Argo. Argo is a historical fiction movie about the going and get the Iranian hostages that makes fun constantly throughout the film of Hollywood and is poking fun at how fake it is. And then it uses every single Hollywood trick in the book at the end to create suspense, even going so far as to having the clutch not work. Oh, my God, we're not going to get there. And then they're like, oh, the passports aren't through. And then they get to the airport, and they're like, we're not going to be able to make it to the plane. And then they get to the plane, and it's like, we're going to follow them out on the tarmac. I'm not saying that movies should be 100% historically accurate, but that stretched credulity a little too far for me. I think Argo is, at best, a minor thriller. It has no business being in this category. Kushner did a great job with Lincoln. I agree with everything John said, even though John disagrees with me about Paranorman. And also, Sean, animated films are not cartoons.
I see. So, Eric, you're voting for Lincoln.
Yes.
As adapted screenplay. And by the way, thank you for ruining the ending of Argo.
You're welcome. Wait, the hostages, get back home.
Yeah, because...
I ruined it ever since 1979. Sorry.
All right, well...
80.
You have more?
Well, no, cartoons are hand-drawn.
If animated features are not cartoons, which was clearly a joke, your whole analysis of Argo was a criticism of directing and not writing,
no.
Which we're talking about.
No. It was the screenplay. It's absolutely in the script.
It's a criticism of directing,
Ben Affleck didn't write that.
Sorry, you're wrong.
Do you know what a screenplay is? I'm just saying, Ben Affleck did not write those scenes.
All right, I'm done.
Chris Terrio did.
Sean, we're kidding around. Well, he'll be back, at least in spirit. All right, here we go.
He always is.
We're keeping his seat warm. Dan, are you ready? Come on down. We called it a free-for-all for a reason. All right, here we go. So, basically, Lincoln wins adapted screenplay, but I want to hear what the audience says. Do we even need to go through this? I mean, there's Argo. Let's hear a yes for Argo for adapted screenplay.
Yeah.
Let's hear Beasts of the Southern Wild.
Yeah.
Let's hear Life of Pi.
Yeah.
Let's hear a yes for Lincoln.
Woo-hoo.
This is all rather tepid, audience. How about Silver Linings Playbook?
Yeah.
Well, I can only gather that the audience does not have much of an opinion about adapted screenplay. But fill those ballots out, and we will put it online at cinemakc.com. All right, moving on to original screenplay. Who's got the mic? That's wonderful.
I'll be short this time, sorry.
You be what you need to be. Okay, original screenplay, it's between Amor, Django Unchained, Flight, Moonrise Kingdom, and Zero Dark 30. What do you say? What do you think will win? What do you think should win for original screenplay? Eric.
Amour is not only the best picture of the year, but the best screenplay of the year by far. It has not opened here in Kansas City yet, but when it does, I believe it's at the Tivoli on February 8th. You guys have to go see it. This movie is amazing. I had the screener for a month, and I knew it was about old people and one of them at the end of their life, and it just seemed like something that I did not want to see. And for 3 weeks, I let it sit on my shelf, and then I finally watched it. And it just destroyed me. This movie is so good, and it's not sentimental mush. It's really, really great filmmaking from Michael Haneke. He deserves to win. He won't, although he has a slight chance. He's the spoiler. So if you want to pick the spoiler, this is the one to pick in this category. Otherwise, I think this goes to Mark Boal for Zero Dark Thirty, which was also an amazing film, but a lot of controversy. So if Oscar's feeling a little prickly, they'll give it to Michael Haneke, but I don't think anybody else stands a chance in this category.
Thank you, Marie. What will win and what should win? Original screenplay. Original screenplay. He's back. Oh, no. Oh, no. Okay. Dan, we're going to get you a chair. Would someone get Dan a chair? Anyone. You have a seat.
I had to go talk to my agent to make sure I knew what a screenplay was.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Dan, we're going to get you a chair. I hope someone's getting you a chair. Dan, don't go far. I'm serious. You sit right down here until we get you a chair. All right, so what are we on? Where are we? What's happening?
Okay.
Who's next? Marie, go.
Yes, Marie's on Best Adapted Screenplay.
Right there.
When I first heard that Catherine Bigelow was going to be directing a Zero Dark Thirty, and that was going to be the title, it just went bing, bing in my mind that I think that was going to be the one. The others, Amour is fine, but it is, to me, it was overly sentimental, and it was manipulative of the audience. And I thought, perhaps not. Zero Dark Thirty is something that's happening now, in different parts of the world, and to me it was a political film, and I thought it was okay, and I think that I would go with Zero Dark Thirty by Mark Boal.
Very good, Bob. Yes.
Dearly loved Moonrise Kingdom. Of all the movies on this list, that's the one I could watch every month for a year. That's my favorite, but I think it will go to Zero Dark Thirty, despite the controversy.
All right. Oh, wow, Bob. I think we agree completely on this. Most people doubted, you know, what Wes Anderson and Roman could do after Darjeeling Limited. But they did a beautiful script. It's a beautiful movie, and Moonrise Kingdom is my favorite. And it's sad to see that that's the only thing it gets nominated for. But I do think that Zero Dark Thirty will win.
Yes, Sean, thanks for coming back.
No, it's all good. I had to go get the Webster Dictionary and figure out what a screenplay is. And since I figured it out, nobody writes dialogue like Quentin Tarantino. Django wins. I did like Moonrise Kingdom, but Django's going to win it.
Dustin and Molly.
Although I have an issue of it being under original screenplay.
Yeah, I said that earlier. I think if we're going to, like, Django is based on a movie from the 70s. Like, we saw. And, you know, Quentin Tarantino is not a great writer.
Whoa.
I...
Because what do you think will win and what should win in original screenplay?
I really like Zero Dark Thirty, really a lot.
Yeah.
I really kind of feel like Wes Anderson movies remind me a lot of McCoy's Restaurant in Westport. I never, ever, ever want to go, but every time I go, I end up enjoying it. So, I actually haven't seen that one yet, but...
I like the way you think. Yeah. Because, you know, food is not really about satisfaction, it's just fuel. So what was your pick again?
Zero Dark Thirty.
You think Zero Dark Thirty will win. Okay, Molly, what do you say?
I think Zero Dark Thirty will win.
Okay.
But I would like Moonrise Kingdom to win. I love Wes Anderson, and when I watch his movies, I feel like... Charles Schultz or Peanuts or something, but you know, a little more.
I'm the cordial. Biggest Peanuts fan. I mean, Peanuts, right? Charles Schultz, the great Charles Schultz. But let's be honest, isn't The Royal Tenenbaums the best Wes Anderson movie by far?
Yes.
No?
Yes.
Well, that's a sidebar for later, perhaps. You agree?
I agree.
Not everyone does. Okay.
We're
but I love
friends.
That. I love that. Okay, very good. Mr. Nickum, what do you say?
Well, first off, to clarify, I think Quentin Tarantino is a great screenwriter. Sidebar, I think Django Unchained is his single worst screenplay. I just finished reading Flight, and it was way clunkier on the page than the movie it ended up being, interestingly enough. So really, of these five, it's going to be Zero Dark Thirty. It's kind of in certain ways, a weak bunch for original screenplay. Original screenplay is typically a category that rewards movies that aren't really... in other categories and tends to be, if you look back historically, some of the best movies of that year. Not so much this year.
So your winner is?
Zero Dark Thirty.
Very good. Well, this seems to be, it's all Zero Dark Thirty. You want to stray from that, Jack?
Probably. I enjoyed Django. Well, I enjoyed the first half of Django.
Me too.
Then it
Me
went too. Totally to hell. I just all the way down. So forget about Django. I enjoyed Flight. I really enjoyed Flight. It's kind of a guilty pleasure, I guess. But Zero Dark Thirty is going to win it.
You like Flight. You're voting for Zero Dark Thirty. Russ, what do you think will win? What should win original screenplay?
You know, what's great about this category is how different all of these five movies are. And that makes it hard to judge because these movies are so different. However, even though I love Moonrise Kingdom, I think Zero Dark Thirty will win. I think it deserves to win.
Dan, we haven't forgotten you. Where are you? Dan, you're there. Dan, just tell us. Come on down. You never know what's going to happen. What will win, what should win, original screenplay?
I actually think Moonrise Kingdom might get it. Personally, I would give it to Amour.
Okay, so you think what will win?
I think Moonrise Kingdom might get it. And again, I hate making these predictions because my taste in the academies are rather different, which is probably good. Would you want to live with my taste? I don't think you would.
And there you have it. All right, so I'm putting you down for Moonrise Kingdom, you rebel you. Paranorman. Oh, wait a second. We got to do this. We got to do the audience participation. Original screenplay. Give me a yes if you believe in the movie for original screenplay. And let's make a decision here, shall we, audience? Amour. Yes. Django Unchained. That was pretty good. That first half killed. I thought that was a great twisted Butch and Sundance film. Flight? Nothing. Moonrise Kingdom. Oh, yeah, everybody's a critic. I love this. And then Zero Dark Thirty? Well, it's Moonrise Kingdom. The audience likes Moonrise Kingdom, a well-informed critical bunch. Okay. All right, who's got the mic? Russ has the mic. We're on to supporting actor. Who do you think will win? Who do you think should win? Russ.
I think the only controversy in this category is really what constitutes a best supporting actor and what constitutes a lead. However, I do think that Philip Seymour Hoffman was brilliant in The Master. I think he deserves to win. I think he will win.
Very good. Jack.
And I totally agree.
Well, that's wonderful. Next.
Hoffman and Waltz are lead roles, so that kind of skews the dynamic. The other thing is, I thought that was Tommy Lee Jones' best performance he's ever given. The problem is, he is well known in the industry as, well, his nickname is Tommy Lee Jerk. So, you know, it's people voting for people. And if you've got that reputation of just being a jerk to everybody, there's going to be people who don't vote for him.
So. I don't want to be a jerk, but get that mic up on you. Get it right up there.
So let's go with Hoffman.
You're voting for Hoffman for Best Supporting Actor. Thank you. And it's on to the Dustin and Molly situation here.
Well, we look at all these names and all these performances. It's almost like you can't.
Get that mic right up on you.
I can't pick a favorite. So it's. I don't know who I should say will win.
Right. Robert De Niro, I think, played a character, somebody he's never, ever played before. And I really, really felt a lot for his character in Silver Linings Playbook. He was dealing with so much, and he didn't ever go to any of those Robert De Niro-y places, which, you know, was really amazing. But Tommy Lee Jones, like, made me cry, and I have no human emotion. So I never – and, you know, well, Christopher Waltz is just hot. So, like, can we vote for the hottest? Is that okay?
All right. So you – Molly, right. Let's – we're going
to – we think it will go to Waltz because it did last time.
Yeah. So you're both voting for Waltz.
We want it to go to Tommy Lee Jones. I had originally said Arkham, but I'm changing my mind. Tommy Lee Jones made Dustin and I hold hands and cry in the theater. We want it to go.
Ladies and gentlemen, changing their minds right in front of your very eyes.
Wow, that's pretty incredible. Actually, technically, this may be the toughest category out of all 24, and they're pretty much all even. So when the money says they're all even, you go with the one who's the most famous. So if you're putting money down for your Oscar pool, go with Robert De Niro for Silver Linings Playbook. Factor is, he's the most known. Second, he's repping a movie that's repped by the Weinstein Company. I always bet on Bob and Harvey. If they can't turn anything, they can turn an acting category. My personal favorite was Christoph Waltz, but the most cheated is Dwight Henry from Beasts of the Southern Wild, who should have been nominated.
Nobody asked me, but I thought Christoph Waltz was Django Unchained. That, well, he was the movie. Was he not, audience? Not so much. Okay. No, not so much. Sean disagrees. Okay, next. Yes, go ahead. Tell us again on mic. Tell us again.
I feel that Dwight Henry got cheated for Beasts of the Southern Wild, but also if you want to talk about best performances in Django, what Samuel L. Jackson did physically and mentally, portraying one of the most despicable characters. If you know anything about American history and what it is to be an Uncle Tom and how he put his reputation on the line professionally and personally to play that character deserved a lot of props. It's also sad to see Hollywood nominate Robert Downey Jr., who fake played a black man, and not nominate Samuel L. Jackson for this tremendous role in Django Unchained.
Can I just say again how hot Christopher Waltz is? I want to make love to that accent.
All right, yes. Ryan, what do you think?
I think it should go to Philip Seymour Hoffman, and I won't say anything because Philip Seymour Hoffman should get it. The Master was amazing.
So you're voting for Hoffman, is that right? Okay, one more for Hoffman, and we're on to Mr. Butler.
Of my favorite here would be Waltz, because I think the movie died when his character did.
Yeah.
He kept it going for me. But I think Hoffman's going to get it.
Okay. Marie.
I think we may need a bucket of cold water towards the end of the table over here. Tommy Lee Jones, It was a toss-up. I mean, he did a good job acting, but, you know, his wig did a lot of the acting in that movie, too. So that kind of canceled that out. Christoph Waltz, now, he's you know, that's a good choice there, smooth-talking guy. Alan Arkin, how much profanity can he get in a sentence? And if the Hollywood goes for that, well, you know, that's it. Philip Seymour Hoffman does The Master. The Master is not a favorite film of mine, but his performance I thought was good. But I thought Robert De Niro acted as though he were on a stage and not in a film. He just seemed to be the person who was not a member of that cast, and I don't think that's his fault. Maybe it was the director, whatever. But I'm going to go with Philip Seymour Hoffman for The Master.
Is Philip Seymour Hoffman also your personal favorite in the category?
Yes, he is, actually. I didn't care for the movie, but I liked him and his performance in there.
Very good. Eric, what do you say?
Well, Philip Seymour Hoffman was my single favorite performance of the year in any movie. I think that, hands down, it was a lead role. I think maybe John or somebody mentioned that earlier. He deserves to win, but again, that is a really tough movie, and there's not a lot of support for it. It didn't get picture, director, or screenplay, so I don't think he's going to win. I think that the winner in a very strong category of everybody who's won before, this is the only category, everybody in this category has already got an Oscar, so you have to kind of count backwards and go, well, Waltz just won one recently. De Niro hasn't won one in forever, but he did Rocky and Bullwinkle and a lot of other stuff. We still have a while to forgive him.
How many people saw Rocky and Bullwinkle in the theater? And how sorry are we for going to the theater to see that? I'm so
all right,
sorry.
There you go. Fair enough. And you mentioned the profanity. Alan Arkin won an Oscar for Little Miss Sunshine, which was essentially the same role. So I don't think he's going to win here. I think that this is probably going to go to Tommy Lee Jones, who hasn't won since The Fugitive, which was another role that you wouldn't normally think would win an Oscar. So I think he's going to win, but Hoffman deserves it. And, Sean, I hate to do this, but why did you bring up Robert Downey Jr. in Tropic Thunder? You're absolutely confusing the issues. That makes
you have
no
a response,
sense
Sean?
Whatsoever. He was
no
playing a white man doing black stereotypes. He wasn't playing a fake black man.
Okay,
and
Dan.
I thought Samuel L. Jackson was amazing in Django Unchained, and he
Jackson
should be the one nominated
amazing.
Here as well. So I agree with Sean on that.
Okay, Dan, wrap it up on this category. Who do you think will win? Who do you think should win?
I'd like it to go to Hoffman. If you've ever read anything about L. Ron Hubbard, it's scary how close his performance was to the real guy.
Who do you think will win?
Who do I think will win?
Yeah.
You know, I could almost see, it's really weird, I'm about to make myself the Karl Rove of movie predictions.
Lay it on us.
I can see, I would agree with Sean about the Weinstein support. Never underestimate them. De Niro would probably get it off of that. And after having to endure him waste his talent in so much crud like the titles you've mentioned, it is nice to see him in something that's worthy of his talent.
So who do you think is going to win? Best Supporting Actor, Dan?
I'm going to rove it here and go for Robert De Niro.
Well, that's great. Now, audience. Well, let's hear it. I'm on the edge of my seat. I don't even have one, and I'm on the edge of it. Okay, audience, Supporting Actor, let's hear a big yes if you like it. Alan Arkin? That. Thank you. How much did that cost Alan Arkin? I don't know. Robert De Niro?
Yeah.
A little better. We're building. Philip Seymour Hoffman?
Yeah.
Oh, we like him. Tommy Lee Jones? That's interesting. Christoph Waltz. Christoph Waltz is the audience choice. The critic's choice for Best Supporting Actor is by far Philip Seymour Hoffman. Dan, don't give up the mic until you tell us, in the category of Best Supporting Actress, who do you think will win? Who do you think should win? Go, Dan.
Anne Hathaway on both counts.
Very good. Next.
Dan's right. Anne Hathaway is going to win, but Les Miserables is one of the biggest train wrecks of the year, a complete horror show from beginning to end. 2.5 hours of melodrama repeated every 30 minutes. I hated every second of it. I know I'm not the audience, but as a film, I thought it completely did not succeed. A bunch of close-ups and actors sitting there singing for 2.5 hours does not make a movie. So, Anne Hathaway, great job singing. But Amy Adams in The Master and Sally Field in Lincoln were fantastic. But Anne Hathaway is going to win.
Okay, and you know, interestingly enough, I did not see Les Miserables, and I didn't like it either. I mean, I will not go see it. I just won't. It's my problem. Okay, who's up? Marie, go.
Mm-hmm. Just in case you missed it.
Pardon me, Marie. Who said that? She was wonderful in Catwoman. Horrible? Well, we'll talk later. Hey, she fit the costume.
Eric, just in case you missed it, Les Mis is a musical. Okay. I'm teasing you.
Thank you for your common sense approach, Marie.
Okay, you're welcome. You're welcome. A lot of good people in Best Supporting Actress. For Helen Hunt is the sex therapist in Sessions. However, her co-star was not nominated for anything, you know? Okay. Sally Field does a wonderful job as Mary Todd Lincoln. And for those of you who like to study body language, watch her hands in this movie. She can be, ramrod straight talking to people, but those hands are moving to indicate her emotion. I thought she did a very good job with that. Amy Adams as Philip Seymour's wife in The Master, I don't think she had very much to do. And also, who was the other one? Jackie Weaver in Silver Linings Playbook also. 2 seconds of good moment, and then we're on to something else. They're just not in there enough to make an impression. But Anne Hathaway is not a singer, and she said she practiced for 6 months.
Well, you have some disagreement on that singing status, Marie.
Okay, she doesn't have a hit record out,
correct.
And so on. But
true
she said
enough.
She practiced for 6 months walking and singing to make this look natural, and I thought she pulled that off. We'll ignore the part about having the teeth pulled and everything because that was kind of like a horror story part of that one. But I would think that Anne Hathaway's got a very good chance, and I would choose her for Best Supporting Actress.
Who do you think should win?
I think she should win, actually. Well, although this is a toss-up. This is a flip of the coin between her and Sally Field. Sally Field does a wonderful job, and she really worked for that role. Both gals worked for their roles, and it really shows. Wonderful job.
Bob Butler, Best Supporting Actress. Who will win? Who should win?
Anne Hathaway will win. I thought Helen Hunt was unbelievable. Playing a character, playing decency is one of the least rewarding things an actor can do, and she pulled it off brilliantly. Performing naked is one of the scariest things an actor can do, and I got to tell you, 5 minutes in, I forgot about that aspect of it because the humanity was coming through so strong.
We almost asked everyone to show up without clothes. We didn't, and that's probably a good thing.
I miss that, though.
Yeah. Who's next? Who's up? Oh, it's Ryan. Who do you think will win?
I'm trying to figure out this microphone code.
It's a crazy mic.
Yeah, there we go.
Who do you think will win? Who do you think should win Best Supporting Actress?
I think Anne Hathaway deserves it.
Wow.
And I think she will win.
Wow.
I actually, unlike Eric, enjoyed Les Miserables. And
okay.
I have a penis, so yeah, me.
Lay it on us, Sean. What do you say?
No, this may be the one category that's the exact opposite from Best Supporting Actor. Actually, Anne Hathaway's name is already on the trophy. Although, personally, if I had a vote, which I don't with the Academy, I would go for Helen Hunt. I thought her performance was brave. I thought it was strong. I thought it was something you haven't seen before. You always see young leading ladies in musicals. I mean, Anne Hathaway's basically doing the same thing that Jennifer Hudson did for Dreamgirls. One big stop 'em, showdown, shut 'em down number, bam, won.
So Anne Hathaway is your pick and your personal favorite. The Molly and Dustin Brain Trust, what do you say? Get that mic right up on your mouth, both of you, just like this. We want to hear what you have to say.
Is it back on? Sally Field. God, everybody loves Sally Field, but I feel like she always just does Sally Field face, and that gets her a nomination. You know, like this like anguished face that she's always done. Thank you.
Yeah, exactly. She makes the she screams and she makes her little face and she's so small. Anne Hathaway was great singing at us. But honestly, we much preferred Samantha Banks in whatever. Who cares? No one cares. She's British.
She played Eponine. She was fantastic.
Okay, so who do we think's gonna win? Who
Anne
do we
Hathaway.
Think should win?
Anne Hathaway. We're kind of indifferent
about the whole category. It's such a foregone conclusion.
It is, apparently. Certainly here tonight it is. So both of you for Anne Hathaway. Mr. Nickum.
Well, one thing with Anne Hathaway, she went to college on a vocal scholarship, and that's how she got into acting. She's very much a trained singer, and you can tell because she completely out-sings Hugh Jackman, who's actually quite terrible, and Russell Crowe, who's just a little outgunned out of his element in this. Hathaway, obviously, walks with this.
Okay, next. Was she a child actor, Anne Hathaway? Anybody know? Teen actor. Jack, what do you say?
Well, Bob, I didn't forget about her nakedness, Helen Hunt's nakedness. It never left my mind. I think she should get Best Supporting Body. But it'll be,
I liked her in that movie. She was good in that movie.
Yes.
And she looked fit.
She looked fit.
There's nothing wrong with looking good at that age.
Damn right.
Damn right.
Anne Hathaway.
So much for Helen Hunt. Okay. Okay, and do something crazy. Come on, give us something else here. Come on. Are you going to go with that?
Okay, I'll give you something completely unexpected.
Yeah.
Anne Hathaway and Anne Hathaway.
Okay, well, that is a unanimous, pick for Best Supporting Actress. Audience, get your yeses ready. Best Supporting Actress, don't hold back. Let's hear a yes if you feel like it for Amy Adams. Nothing. Sally Field. A little enthusiasm. Dare I say it, Anne Hathaway. I think you've convinced them, critics. Helen Hunt. That's respectable. And Jackie Weaver. Nobody talked about poor Jackie Weaver. Okay. Believe it or not, audience, we are more than halfway through with our critics panel. Let's hear it. All right, moving on. Oh, these are the big guns. We're moving on to Best Actor. Who's got the mic? Russ, Best Actor. This is getting serious now. Who do you think will win? Who do you think should win?
After I saw Joaquin Phoenix in The Master, I thought, oh, he's got it locked. That's the performance of the year. And then I saw Daniel Day-Lewis, and I said, stop everything. This is Daniel Day-Lewis's to lose. So I think he's a lock.
Keep it going. Who do you think?
And again, I totally agree with Russ.
Okay.
This would be a really interesting category if Daniel Day-Lewis wasn't in it. Because, all these, Bradley Cooper showing up and really proving he can act, and Joaquin Phoenix with this crazy role. And I thought Denzel did one of his best non-Denzel-y performances in a long time. He was terrific in the movie. But at this point, I think it's Daniel Day-Lewis, and I'm not really sure who else it would be if not for him.
Daniel Day-Lewis again. What do we think, kids? You two, what do we think, you two?
Well, like I said earlier, Lincoln is genetically engineered to win Oscars. Bradley Cooper gave such an amazing performance. And I'm sorry, but didn't you see Wet Hot American Summer? Bradley Cooper didn't act.
No, I'm not saying that, but he plays a lot of terrible roles.
We left you to the microphone, critics.
So Daniel Day-Lewis will probably win it because his interpretation of Lincoln is only Daniel Day-Lewis could do. He is a gift to the world, and if you disagree with that, then apparently you're a terrible person.
Is it fair to say that Molly and Dustin are both going for Daniel Day-Lewis?
To win, we want Bradley Cooper to win it.
Well, we all want Bradley Cooper, right?
Yes, we do.
Okay, Sean.
And by the way, that's a dig at me because I'm not a big fan of Daniel Day-Lewis. So,
well, thank you for that
terrible person.
Unnecessary information.
Come on, let's talk about unnecessary information tonight, please.
No, we're
touché.
We're really not talking about fandom or favorites or any of that. We're talking about Academy Awards. So, to stick to the subject, Daniel Day-Lewis won this Academy Award when it was announced that he was cast as Abraham Lincoln by Steven Spielberg, basically. I mean, when you heard that news that he was playing his character, I mean, it's been game over, technically, since that point. I mean, if you know anything about the industry or anything about the business, it's been done since then. I mean, my famous saying about his performance is, Daniel Day-Lewis is the dude on the $5 bill.
Ryan.
Microphone again. Lewis put his straw in this Oscar and drank it right up. I think that you could replace anybody on here with what Matthew McConaughey did in the NC-17 Killer Joe should be on there.
Why do you think he was ignored? Why was Matthew ignored?
Because he stuck a piece of chicken and did fellatio inside a woman's mouth.
Well, I'm sorry I asked.
Yeah.
Okay, let's move it along. Mr. Butler.
I didn't even really much like Lincoln, but I have to go with Daniel Day-Lewis on both counts. He was incredible.
Okay. Marie.
Well, Sean said what I was going to say. As soon as it was announced that Daniel Day-Lewis was cast in that role, you know, everybody else just step aside and go home and try another film, a zombie film or something. But he's really got the lock on it, and he was my choice. He was my choice before he started, you know, before you saw the film. And then when you saw the film, you think, this is it. I mean, the guy just melts into these roles. He's just, and someone down there said he's like a treasure. Yeah, he really is.
He is a gift to the world.
Eric. Yeah, no, I definitely agree. This is Daniel Day-Lewis's category. It's his year again. He made Tony Kushner's script come to life. He made Lincoln's speeches sound like they were coming from a human being instead of something that we've read in history books this whole time. It was an amazing performance, but I really have to say I'm rooting for Joaquin Phoenix, even though I know he has no chance at all because that role was so physical and so strange and so warped and three-dimensional. But yeah, it's definitely Daniel Day-Lewis. And also, it takes a lot to make me hate Hugh Jackman. But he was so unlikable in this movie. There was nothing about it. It was so dull and boring and awful, and I really hated that movie, as you know. But come on, Hugh Jackman's a great singer and a great performer. I even liked him in, what's that Meg Ryan movie, where he's like the guy from on a horse?
The time travel thing?
Yeah, Cate Lane Leopold. He's great in that. That movie stinks.
Yeah. Dan, shock us. Shock us, Dan. Go. Who's going to win? Actor.
You'll be disappointed.
Okay.
It's definitely going to go to Day-Lewis. Frankly, I think it should go to Day-Lewis. I would be amused if it went to Phoenix just because he's been such a spoiled brat about, oh, I don't care about
the carrot.
Yeah. So it'd be amusing if he got it because we could the award shows could really benefit from another Sachem Littlefeather or another George C. Scott calling in a meat parade. I mean, it'd be so much.
I totally agree, Dan.
Yeah, because it would be so much more fun than any of the musical numbers they came up with. I mean, one year I watched a telecast, and they had Michael Flatley dancing a tribute to editing. And it was the best argument for editing that I had ever seen in my life.
Thank you very much. All right, well, audience, it's Daniel Day-Lewis. Do we even need to do this? Daniel Day-Lewis, let's hear it. Yes. Okay. Three categories to go. The excitement's building.
But I'm going to be the first one to talk. That's going to kill it.
It's not going to kill anything, Dan. It's already dead. Actress, Dan, tell us, who do you think will win and who should win?
I think Chastain's a strong contender, so I think she will get it, and I could sleep at night if she did.
For Zero Dark Thirty, okay.
I would like to see it go to Emmanuel Riva.
But you're picking Jessica Chastain.
Yes.
Very good. Eric, best actress. Who should?
Emmanuel Riva should win, and I think she's the spoiler here. I think Amour is the spoiler in a couple categories. I think this is actually between Chastain and Lawrence, though, as much as I like Kwevenjene Wallace, who is amazing in Beasts of the Southern Wild. If we're counting the Harvey Weinstein factor, which Sean mentioned earlier, I would have to go with Jennifer Lawrence as the winner in this category.
Oh, well, that's nice. Yeah. I liked her in that X-Men movie, which wasn't very good. But she was good. Okay, who's next? Marie. Who will actress?
Well, going from the bottom of the list going up, Naomi Watts in The Impossible, there's no acting there. She's hanging onto boards while water goes over her. She's underneath, she's on top of the water, and then she's injured, and then people are running to get bandages for her or whatever. That's not acting. The young woman.
But Marie, let me just say, it's not really happening. It is pretend. It is acting.
Yes. It's a travelogue for Thailand is what it is.
Okay,
and
well,
the young girl her first name I cannot pronounce, but Rob's going to pronounce it for me.
Kwevenjene
Wallace. In Beasts of the Southern Wild, I have something against having a child, the camera look at the child and capture an expression and then try to read emotion and acting into this. I just didn't think that unless the Academy comes up with a child Academy Award actor or something like that, I didn't think she should be placed here. Emmanuel Riva in Amour, possibly, but this is a film that has not been seen larger on the country. So, you know, if Oscar wants it, that they do. Jennifer Lawrence, she shouted her lines in this movie. I mean, this woman would have had six microphones in front of her. And, pardon?
Yes, she is. I'm sorry. Thank you, audience member.
She's hot? So what? And Jessica Chastain, I think, probably is the strongest contender in this. Best actress, but I don't think the actress roles this year were as strong altogether as the other categories we're talking about for Zero Dark Thirty. So anyway, I would say Jessica Chastain will probably get it, and she deserves it out of this particular list.
Well, Marie, what about Tatum O'Neill in Paper Moon? I mean, did you disapprove of her majestic win at the Oscars?
Oh, that was before my time.
True enough. Okay, who's next? Mr. Butler, who do you think will win? Who should win Best Actress?
My favorite would be Quvenzhané Wallace. And I say that, I might not have said that before I knew enough about her, because children can be a trained parrot act, you know. I didn't think that was the case here. Everything I've heard about her is that she is an astoundingly smart, I don't know, for a cliche, you want to say, wow, an old soul. But the fact is that people on the set said she was coming up with stuff that they were borrowing from.
Interesting.
But I think the winner will be Jessica Chastain, who's coming off 3 years of unbelievable performances, one after the other. So,
very good. Ryan, who will, who should? Actress.
I think it will be Quvenzhané Wallace, just because it will be that Oscar TV moment. I'll watch a little girl cry. You always got to do that. And I also think she should win.
Sean, what do you think?
Happiness was amazing.
I actually have to say this is one of the tougher categories of the night, and wow, this is tough. Quvenzhané Wallace was fantastic in Beasts of the Southern Wild, so I'm hoping the same thing happens that happened a few years ago, where everybody thought it was going to either be Daniel Day-Lewis or Jack Nicholson for Best Actor, and the two of them siphoned off votes, in which the way I hope Jessica Chastain and Jennifer Lawrence do. So you have the surprising winner be Quvenzhané Wallace for Beasts of the Southern Wild. That's what I'm pulling for. That's my number one dark horse of the night. But if you got to put money down, and since we're talking Oscar pool, you got to go with Jessica Chastain. I think she's going to be the sole representation for Zero Dark Thirty. It's rare that you see strong, powerful women on the big screen, and she was that in that movie. I did like Jennifer Lawrence in Silver Linings Playbook, and I know that's a Weinstein movie, so like I said, anything can happen. So I'm hoping that Quvenzhané Wallace benefits from the split vote between the two J's.
Very good. Dustin, what do you say? Who will, who should? Actress. You can do it.
Having the same problems you were having with the mic cord. I think it's going to be Jessica Chastain, too.
Okay, all right.
She carried what could have been a really dry, really boring movie and made it believable and interesting, and your heart was in it, not just because she brought it, your heart, to that movie. So I think she was my favorite. Jennifer Lawrence did an amazing job playing a character that should be essentially unlikable, making her really likable, and really you really root for her, for a character that does nothing but be mean, and I really liked that. Beasts of the Southern Wild, I'm not going to even attempt to say the name. It's adorable. Quvenzhané.
Who will win?
Tell
us.
Jessica Chastain.
Very good. And who will win and who should win? Actress Molly.
I work with children. That's my day job. And children can't act. They're smart, they're clever, and it's not just them staring into the camera. They are very capable. I think it will go to Jessica Chastain. I agree with Dustin. We see all of our movies together. But I would like to see it go to Quvenzhané.
John Nickum, who will, who should, in the category of Best Actress.
I love this category. I thought it was a great category. I was really happy to see all these nominees. One thing I noticed with Jennifer Lawrence is she played a character very unlike the majority of things you've seen her in the last few years. And I couldn't wait till she was on screen. Every time she'd leave, I'd be like, God, bring her back. I can't wait to see what she does next. I think she is actually for sure going to win. Second would be Jessica Chastain, and the rest I just don't think they have a shot, although I will disagree with Marie. I thought Naomi Watts was incredible, and after I watched the movie, my first thought was, wow, she should get an Oscar nomination, but she won't because it's too physical and people will think it's not acting.
And your pick again, John, I'm sorry?
Lawrence.
Very good.
I want to address the Harvey Weinstein factor. Last year, he was promoting just one film, The Artist, which won. This year has two films to promote, three, but if you look in the trade papers, the paper editions, they're primarily all focusing on Jennifer Lawrence and Silver Linings Playbook, so should be interesting to see if he can pull it off once again. I think it'll be a runner-up category here, Jennifer Lawrence, but Jessica Chastain will win.
And Russ, who do you think will nail it on Best Actress?
I think that Jessica Chastain will win. I voted for Jennifer Lawrence for Critics' Choice, so I was kind of hoping she would win. And I think that the Oscars should bring back the Juvenile Awards to accommodate Kovanjani Wallace. I think they should have a special Child Actor Award every year.
Didn't Shirley Temple win that Oscar years
she
ago?
She did.
But who else won that?
Julie Garland.
Judy Garland as a kid. For what film, Mr. Nickum, do you recall? Judy? Wizard of Oz, they gave her a statue for that. Well deserved. You're kidding. They couldn't get away with that today, could they? No. Actually, it would be bigger for the kid, wouldn't it? It would just be bigger. All right, well, audience, what do you think? Do we all agree? Jessica Chastain, Best Actress? I want to hear it. I know you're with me in spirit. Okay. All right, here we go. We're climbing up to the top of the mountain. We're going to plant our flag. Best director. This is the serious meat on the sandwich now, okay? Best director. Who's got the mic? Russ? It's between, well, it's, lay it on us. Director, who do you think will? Who do you think should?
Just looking at the task and what he had to work with and the kind of movie that it was, I think Ang Lee, by far,
really
deserves the award for Life of Pi. It's just astounding directorial finesse.
Deserves it. Will he win it?
And I don't think he will win it.
No.
I think Steven Spielberg will win.
Yes, he will. No one asked me, but I think he will.
Ben Affleck should have gotten this one, but he didn't.
Let's hear it for Ben Affleck.
So it'll be Steven Spielberg.
Okay. We're in the home stretch.
The odd thing with this category is that if Ben Affleck would have been nominated, he would have won. And if Catherine Bigelow would have been nominated, she would have won. But since neither were, it throws everything in askew. Which it could be Ang Lee. It's possible, because I don't think it's going to go to Spielberg, because, again, I don't think it's a director's movie. I think it's a writer's movie and an actor's movie and an easy actor's movie. But for me, actually, the best performance or the best directorial job was Ben Zeitlin for Beasts of the Southern Wild, because he had absolutely nothing to work with and made this movie that was almost like this weird piece of outsider art that it's so unusual that it's surprising that anyone has actually seen it.
And your official pick, though, for Best Director, John?
I don't know. Let's go Ang Lee.
Really? Well, that's daring. What do we think of John's pick? Ang Lee, huh? Yeah, that's brave of him. Okay. Next.
It's a hard call. I'm gonna say Ang Lee might get it. It's hard.
I don't see that on the ballot.
I don't.
Who will win Best Director, Molly?
Ang Lee.
Woo! Okay, we'll put another one down.
I would like to see David O. Russell get it, but he's a crazy motherfucker.
For self, thank you.
So.
Well, let me just shake your hand.
But I love.
I think that's the first obscenity we've had all evening.
Oh, okay, there.
All right, thank you very much. I can give you more. All right.
Okay, very good.
And now what about you? Oh, go ahead.
But I would like to see Ben Zeitlin get it. I loved Beasts of the Southern Wild.
Okay, and Dustin, go.
Lincoln was genetically engineered to
win
the Oscars.
Yes. All right. Sean.
I'm actually going with David O. Russell for Silver Linings Playbook.
Okay.
This is the biggest wash of a category. It should go to Paul Thomas Anderson for The Master, but he is not even nominated, so I just, quit that category.
Wait a minute. Whoa, no, not allowed. No, you got to pick. No pick.
I have to pick. I'll go with...
You should.
Man.
You won't regret it. Take a shot.
Just so much hate. I'll go with Ang Lee.
Oh, this is the dark horse favorite here. This is interesting. Okay, yes, Bob.
Ang Lee and Ang Lee.
Really? Wow, this is surprising. It was worth coming just for the Ang Lee thing, right? Okay, who's next? Marie.
Well, I was looking at who wasn't nominated. We talked before about Catherine Bigelow not being nominated for Zero Dark Thirty or Ben Affleck for Argo. What about Tom Hooper for Les Mis or Ben Lewin for Obsessions? Christopher Nolan even for Dark Horse Rises? Or Joe Wright for Anna Karenina? Dark Knight. It's getting late, everybody. Dark Knight Rises or even Joe Wright for Anna Karenina. So then we go to who actually is in this list. And it's going to be Steven Spielberg, I think, for pulling this together, even though he has this signature that I really detest, but it's always in the films. Cue the sunset, and there it is. Cue the music, and there it is. But it still has Daniel Day-Lewis, and he did manage that to direct him fine. So I think it'll be Steven Spielberg. And that's the one I wanted to win, and I think he probably will get it for Best Director.
Very good. Eric, who do you think will? Who should director?
The Critics' Choice Award and the Golden Globes went to Ben Affleck. So this category is completely up in the air and kind of awesome for a film fan. It also contains my number one movie of the year, Amour, my number three, Life of Pi, my number five, Silver Linings, number six, Beasts, and number seven, Lincoln. Every single movie in this category is amazing. As far as who's going to win, I keep saying Amour is the spoiler. This is not the one where it's the spoiler. If they're going to give Michael Haneke one, it's going to be screenplay. This is tough because you've got Silver Linings Playbook versus Lincoln, which is a repeat of Shakespeare in Love versus Saving Private Ryan, right? Which went to Saving Private Ryan winning director Spielberg, but then Weinstein winning the picture with Shakespeare in Love. I think Argo is going to win picture, so I don't know who to pick here. So I'm going to go with the safe pick, which would be Steven Spielberg for Lincoln.
Dan, lay it on us. Who's going to win?
Who's going to win?
Yeah. And we'll be right back after this.
Well,
you knew this question was coming.
Oh, I knew. Well, the point was I was actually listening to what Eric said.
Well, there's your first mistake.
Okay. And I wanted to get down his insights before I shot my mouth off. I think it might go to Hanukkah. Because he's, like I said, he's a... You know, he is kind of an interesting spoiler candidate in this. And frankly, as a fan of Amour, I would be very happy if he won because, you know, you have a very heavy emotional issue being dealt with in this film. And he directs it in this really cold, clinical style that's a nice compliment. Would you say that's a... And, you know, because of this rather interesting approach, it... had a, shall we say, a deeper impact for me than it might have.
Are you picking Michael, as you say? Is
yeah,
it
I'm
Hanukkah?
Picking, but I, for who I would like it to go to, I'd like it to go to Ang Lee just because of the challenging production he was working in.
All right.
Because, you know, and also, this was a novel that didn't lend itself to film right away.
Well, many people think so.
You know, I think the fact that he pulled it off without tripping over his own feet is commendable.
Very good. Okay, well, by the whisker of the tiger that supposedly was going to fascinate us in Life of Pi, no, Ang Lee doesn't win. No, it's Steven Spielberg. By the Lincoln, by a little bit. Lincoln wins on the critics. Best director. Audience, what do we say? Quickly, stick with me, audience. Best director, Michael Haneke. Is that, that's how you say it for Amour? Anybody? No. Ang Lee for Life of Pi? Yes, that's pretty respectable. Steven Spielberg for Lincoln? Yeah. Well, you're getting excited. David O. Russell for Silver Linings Playbook? Yeah. Oh, I like that. That's kind of interesting. And then finally, Benth Zietlin for Beasts of the Southern Wild? Yeah. Okay, one more time because I'm curious now. Is it Spielberg for Lincoln?
Yeah.
Or is it Russell for Silver Linings?
Yeah.
I think the audience likes Silver Linings. Okay, this is the moment when we all... I'm personally thankful that this many people are still here. You are the true Oscar nuts. Thank you very much.
So my body odor didn't scare you off?
No. It's been very unpredictable in a predictable way. Dan, hang on to the mic, but not for too long. Best Picture, You have the ballots in front of you. If you don't, I'm going to say them. Amor, Argo, Beasts of the Southern Wild, so many. Django Unchained, Les Miserables, Life of Pi, Lincoln, Silver Linings Playbook, Zero Dark Thirty. Why don't they just nominate 20 films? Okay, Dan, who will win Best Picture? Who should? Lay it on us.
I'm going for Lincoln for Will.
Yep.
And for my own, I would like Life of Pi, Amour, or Beasts of the Southern Wild.
Well, that's just great. Okay, thank you. Eric, who will, who should for Best Picture, please?
My love for Amour is no secret. Amour should win. There's 7 really good films in this category and 2 really bad ones.
What are the 2 bad ones?
The 2 bad ones, well, okay. Argo's not bad. It's just overrated. I can't stand hearing how great it is anymore because it's just a thriller. Come on. And there's a million of those, and they're not so great all the time. Anyway.
What's the other one you don't like?
Another one. The other one I don't like is Les Miserables.
Well, there you are.
Yeah. Okay. So here's the deal. This is going to be the first time since 1989 that a Best Picture wins without its director being nominated. Driving Miss Daisy won Best Picture. I think that's going to happen here. I think they're going to feel sorry for Affleck. It's because he didn't get the director nomination. They're going to go, oh, well, we were on the edge. We'll give it to you. And he's going to get Argo. It's going to win Best Picture. And it's going to be the worst winner since Crash.
Wow. Marie, what do you say? Who will, who should on Best Picture?
Well, there are 4 films here that directed themselves. And so at this rate, I don't think they should have a director's category anymore. I mean, Argo directed itself and...
Really?
Yeah.
How does that happen?
I don't know. It's something
miraculous. How does it direct itself?
You know, they say Los Angeles is the city of angels, and so I think the angels are there directing these movies or something, because it's sure not anybody who's going to be recognized.
That's good enough for me.
I've always been a Lincoln fan ever since I saw the film, and going back to what Sean said, as soon as you heard Daniel Day-Lewis was connected with it, I mean, it just kind of went with the flow. Zero Dark Thirty, I thought, was a very good film put together. I look at the logistics of putting these films together, and those two stand out, and it would be a toss-up between Zero Dark Thirty and Lincoln. I'm pulling for Lincoln. I just hope that it will win, but it wouldn't surprise me. I would not be disappointed if Zero Dark Thirty got it.
But what will win?
I think Lincoln by a hair.
Lincoln by a hair.
By a gray hair.
By a, yeah, one of these. Okay. Bob.
Okay. I agree with Dan in the sense that I'm a 3-way for what I would like to win, which would be Zero Dark Thirty, Life of Pi, and Beasts. But I agree with Eric that Argo is going to get it in a kind of a default situation. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Very good. Ryan.
I think Argo is going to win, but I do think it's a shame that The Master doesn't make this list.
Oh, that is interesting.
So horrible that that didn't happen. But, yeah, I think Argo is going to win. If I could pick it, I would pick Beast of the Southern Wild.
But you're voting for Argo as the real winner. Sean, what do you say?
I got the actual winner when they open an envelope will be Lincoln. The only movie on this list that will be remembered 20 years from now be Django Unchained.
You know, I got to tell you, I'm not one of the critics, but Django did something to me in the theater. I like that movie. I'm not going to tell you what it did to me. That, you know, later, if you want to have a drink, we'll talk. Go ahead.
Okay.
Thank you.
I actually really, really liked Argo. So I would like for it to win. I have a feeling that it's probably going to be Zero Dark Thirty or Lincoln. But my personal pick is Argo.
Very good. Molly.
So many feelings, you guys. First of all, Dustin and I, we're critics, but we're not critics. Our show is called Reviews for Humans because we're humans. We're not critics. Like, we watch movies like everybody else watches movies for explosions and Bruce Willis and shit. So we haven't seen Amour yet. I'm sure it's beautiful. I think it's probably going to go to Argo. I would like it to go to Silver Linings Playbook. I think it's been a long time since the Academy has had an Annie Hall type of win, and that would be really refreshing.
But you're voting for Argo.
I think it will go to Argo.
Yep.
I want Silver Linings to win. If I could vote, I would vote for Silver Linings.
Very good. You just voted. John Nickum, what do you say? Best picture, what will, what should?
Well, five of these movies made my top 10 list, so I was pretty happy with these, the category and how it shook out. I think there's three movies that can win, Argo, Zero Dark Thirty, and Lincoln. And I think it will go in that order. Argo favorite, Zero Dark Thirty second, and Lincoln third. 2 months ago, I would have told you it was only between Argo and Zero Dark Thirty. No other picture had a shot until both of them didn't get a director nomination. And that throws this into a tailspin, which is great because when you watch the Oscars, you want a little ambiguity. So I'll say Argo wins, and I guess out of these, Life of Pi for me.
Okay, Jack, what do you say? What do you think? Best picture.
Well, let's not forget politics about the Oscars.
There's a lot
of politics. And in the best actor, best film category, every union votes on that, every craft votes. So you have to ask yourself which craft, which union hates which studio. That's a factor. Don't let them kid you. So if a major studio has union problems, you know the crafts are going to vote against them. It happens. It has happened. It will continue to happen. But my favorite would have been Argo, but of course Lincoln will win.
All right, Russ, you have the last word. Best picture.
If I were to pick, if I had a vote in the Academy, it would be for Life of Pi. However, I do believe that Argo will win because it's got the momentum.
Well, I don't know what to say. We've almost come to the end of this evening. I know, it's terrible. And, you know, that O kind of moved me. One moment. Let me make this final tally. Just a second. Argo is by far the critic's choice. Let's do this thing. Come on. Stick with me here. Best picture. Give me a yes if you believe. You don't really have to believe, but give me a yes. Amor.
Yeah.
Well, I got what I asked for. Argo.
Yeah.
Beasts of the Southern Wild.
Woo.
Django Unchained. Nothing. I'm shocked. Les Miserables. Nothing. Life of Pi. Lincoln.
Yeah.
Silver. No one really cares about Best Picture. Does anybody care? Come on. Lincoln.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's for the Silver Linings Playbook. Zero Dark Thirty. Well, it sounds like Lincoln and... Well, it's interesting. Our critics liked Argo better than our audience. Our audience liked Lincoln. Well, are we done?
I'd go with the audience.
I always go with... I'm sorry, what? What? What did you say?
You said we liked Argo, but I think the consensus was we think that we'll win. We all had different thoughts on what we liked.
Molly, you're listening too closely. We're just talking. All right. Well, you know, at the risk of alienating whoever is still here, and I'm glad you're here with me, Jerry, to witness this, does anyone have any questions, or are we totally tapped out? They're here. Yes, sir. How many Oscars has Spielberg won? I don't know. How many? Use the mic if you have it. Two is the answer? Okay. Any other questions from the audience for the critics? We're totally informed. I just want to thank everybody out here for coming. We hope you are right in your Oscar pools. Thank
you so
much. How
about a hand for the greatest array of critics in one place right here?
Yes. Thank you, critics. You're wonderful.
If a bomb fell on this building, there would be no opinions about movies in Kansas City tomorrow.
Who's got the mic? Who's got the mic on the table? Here, just
right
come
here.
Over. Jerry. Well, Eric can't help himself.
We're having an Oscar party at the Screenland and More. The Screenland and More on Oscar night. We all turn in our ballots. You can go to scenestealers.com and turn in your ballot. Or just show up that night. Tons of free stuff. We're going to have stuff from this entire year of movies. Alamo Draft House gift certificates, Screenland gift certificates, big Oscar party.
And where is that?
This is at the Screenland Armor. I
north,
said Moore, didn't
north
I?
North of the river. He loves it. Screenland
totally
Armor, scenestealers.com, Oscar night. Be there. Thank you all, and have a happy Oscar.